Okay, let's have some time in the Word. Now open your Bibles to the book of Psalms. Psalm 133. Okay. Good. Okay, we're going to read it together. From the NIV translation, we'll read from where it says verse 1, how good and pleasant. Let's read Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. The very words of God. Amen? Amen. Welcome back. Nice to see you. Yeah. Okay. So, today our subject or title of the message is Beauty in Unity. Beauty in Unity. Where do we get that idea that unity is beautiful? In verse 1. It is good and pleasant when brothers live together in unity. Something that is both good and pleasant is usually beautiful. The problem is not unity itself. The problem is that we don't have unity. The problem is our life is often disunified or disununited. And the Lord gives us a wonderful text to help us express our gratitude for unity, but also the Lord gives us a wonderful text to teach us what is unity. So, for our scripture today, we'll ask three basic questions. Why unity? What is unity? And how do we get it? It's very simple. Why do we need unity? What it is, and how do we get it? So, why? Why unity? Well, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Without unity, it's not good and it's not pleasant. Just coming to Mitaki, we have people from not just different neighborhoods or different cities, but we have different people from different countries and cultures. I love how our testimony time is jumped off by someone from Japan, and then someone from Guatemala, someone from Kenya, someone from the Philippines, and then someone who prays from Singapore. That's crazy. That is so amazing, but it is not easy. Because when people come together from different places, different ideas, different cultures, different approaches, different personalities, different families, it's not natural for human beings to smoothly come together. It's natural for human beings to have conflict. We know this not from our gatherings at church. We know this just from being in our own family. We go home to our families, it's nice and happy for maybe 5 minutes. We'll have some food. We'll sit down. And sooner or later, somebody says one thing. And then another person says, what did you just say? And the other person, oh, calm down, calm down. You're always overreacting. I'm always overreacting. No. I will not calm down. And blah, 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 blah. It goes on. Not just in our families. We go to work. Ah, work. Someone forgets to do something, or someone neglects, or someone does something too much. Boom. Disunity. But this is a subject about God's people. It's even worse in the church. When God's people come together, and it's not a people of one ethnicity or one culture, it's from all over the world and from very different ethnicities, from different cultures, and it's so difficult. If we're going to have a decent time at church to be together, if this gathering is going to be something that glorifies God, pleases God, honors God, we need unity. Otherwise, it's not good, it's not pleasant. It's, let's just get on with this, let's get it over with so we can go home. So the one reason we need unity is because without unity, it is not good, it is not pleasant. But let's go even deeper. It's like precious oil poured on the head. This gets even not just on our relationships with each other, but this is relationships with ourselves. Here's what I mean. Without unity, we don't grow as Christians. That's why we need it. What do I mean? This precious oil, it's very interesting image. In your Bible, where they talk about a very expensive oil, they're talking about the oil of anointing. You got to sit down, son. And this oil of anointing, you can read about it in Exodus chapter 29, Exodus chapter 30. You can turn there if you like, but I'll explain it. It's made of 5 ingredients. The first is myrrh. The second is cinnamon. The next is cassia. And the other one, I can't remember. Ah, yes, it's called cane. And the last one is oil, olive oil. So the first 4 are kinds of spices. Okay? Myrrh, cinnamon, cane, and cassia. Myrrh comes from the Turkish word myrrh, M-U-R-R, which is means bitter. It's very earthy and dark and hard kind of fragrance. And then you have the other side, which is cane, which is a kind of sweet, kind of light, kind of smell. And then between you have cassia and you have cinnamon. You're familiar with cinnamon, right? So, watch this. You have 4 different kinds of spices. By themselves, they don't have holiness. They don't have a great value. But you mix it together with olive oil. And not just any kind of throw it together and mix it together. It says in your Bible, it says, this is the work of a perfumer. This was a very well put together mixture. This was not some amateur cook in the kitchen just, okay, yeah, that looks good. Let's put some spice and some smirk. No. This was a professional perfumer who put in a little bit of myrrh and then some bit of cinnamon, and they heat it up and they made, that's not right. And they put some more and it's a process. And out of this process of a professional perfumer, you have an oil that's very expensive. And it was used only on a very special occasion, which was to put on the most holy, most precious, most valuable parts of Israel's worship. It was called the oil of anointing. Now, I need to get back to those ingredients. Those four ingredients by themselves are nothing. But when you mix them together with the olive oil by the master mixer, they become holy. Are you following with me? Are you following? We, by ourselves, as Christians, as followers and disciples of Jesus, yeah, we have some kind of value. But we want something more. We want something that God calls sanctification. Sanctification means God is preparing us for heaven. Right? This is not the end here. This is the rehearsal. This is the dress rehearsal for what will happen at the beginning of eternity. This does not end here. We need to get ready. And God is making us ready by what? Unifying us. Teaching us to grow and to live and to dwell together. To mix together. Listen, it would be so much easier to be a Christian without all of you. Because everybody just gets in my way. I just want to live my life and study my Bible and do church the way I want church to do it. When I was a worship leader here, before I became a pastor, it was so much easier just to have my guitar and me and the microphone and just play and worship. It would be so difficult when someone wants to get on the piano. Someone wants to join on the drum. And then we have to have a bass player. And then that means we have to practice. We have to rehearse. And who has the time to rehearse? Who wants to practice? Ah! But then, if we don't, the timing is off, the key is off, the singers are off, and oh, it's such a pain in the neck. It's so much easier to do it by myself. But it's so much better when there's more people. Amen? Man, when there's two people singing, they're not singing the same note. They're singing two different notes, but what? They're singing in harmony. Oh, it's so good and pleasant, isn't it? It's so good and pleasant, you could say it's holy. And the one note is made so much sweeter, so much more beautiful, when it's complemented by the other note. We don't grow. We don't have flourishing. We don't become what God wants us to be. We don't get ready for heaven without unity. Oh, well, we need it so bad. It's like that precious oil. Now, it gets even deeper than this, my friends. Number one, we need it because church is not good and pleasant without it. We need it because we'll never grow and we'll never be sanctified without unity. Third, we need it because without it, we die. We die. Verse 3. For there the Lord bestows His blessing, even life forevermore. See this there? There means here. Live together in unity. When God's people are unified and living together in unity, that's where we get life forevermore, eternity. In other words, what's the opposite? When we're living separately, when we're not unified, when we're going our own way, it's death. I'm going to get back to this point, but listen. Christians will die alone. We will die alone. I can go home and have my podcasts. I can read my Christian blogs. I can have all my little study Bibles all by myself and have my own little Christian kingdom. I'm a dead Christian. Because I won't open myself to you. I won't open myself to you and I won't be vulnerable. And no one will look to me. I'm dead. faith without works is dead. The Christian alone is dead. Why do I say that? It says it right here. That when we're together, that's where God gives us life forevermore. Now, I'm going to explain that life forevermore a little bit later. But just simply now, why do we need unity? It's not good and it's not pleasant without it. We don't grow in sanctification and we die without it. Now, that's just a few of them that we can go on forever, but let's keep going to the second point. What is this unity? Now, I can give you just a definition. We all kind of have an idea of what unity is. One of my favorite preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he says something very, very important about the way we like to have information. We live, what he says, in unpoetic times. We live in a time where we don't appreciate a good metaphor. We want just the cold, hard, factual definition. Now, that's important to have. It's important to have good, clear definitions, but the Bible is so much deeper. The Bible wants to give us not just a definition, but it gives us a picture. It gives us a metaphor. And so the Bible says here, what is unity? Well, here's two pictures. It's like two kinds of liquid. The first kind is like an oil. The second kind is like dew. Okay? So let's go over this. This oil. We got to go into deeper detail. The oil, I said, was this anointing oil that was for all of the holy things in Israel. Now, not just the things, not just the table, not just the lamps, not just the altar, but the oil would be poured onto the person. The person was the priest. So imagine Pastor Hiroshi. He is the senior pastor of our church. When he is appointed to be the pastor, they would take a bowl of oil, sweet smelling, very expensive oil, and they would just pour it onto his head. And it would go onto his head and it would just drench his head. Now, if I would imagine that, I would think, ew, that is, why? It's oil. But let's think once more. This oil was very expensive. Okay? And it's good and pleasant. So the oil that I'm imagining is probably not the right kind of oil. The women here, well, not women here, but women, you know, you have makeup, you have to put it on, right? The guys, we don't do that, but the ladies, you know, you look good and you, okay, all that stuff. So you have the makeup all day, and then at the nighttime, you take the makeup off, you wash, right, you rinse. And then I see on TV, I'll see commercials for this thing that they put on their face after they've washed their face. I don't know what it is.
Moisturizer.
Okay, moisturizer, but it's like they're doing this thing and they're doing this thing and they show like the pyom pyom and they do all that kind of stuff, right? And I'm like, wait, you want to sleep with that on your face? Now, if it was me, no, sir. I want just nothing on my face. But I guess the women, they need some I don't know, something for their skin. So it must be good and pleasant, at least, if you're going to sleep with it on. So I can imagine maybe this oil that they used was not something that's like, ew, gooky and bleh, thick all over the, right? But at least it was something pleasant. Okay? Now, it was running down Aaron's beard. Ah, Aaron. Aaron. This is David who wrote this thing. David had never met Aaron. But David was imagining, what is the best and most beautiful, most precious thing I could think of when I think of unity? Yes, it's like this oil. It's like the oil being poured on Aaron when he's being set to work for God in the temple. It's like the oil, not just on his head, because on his head, why doesn't David say it's like the oil coming on his hair, on his head? Because when Aaron was anointed for service, he had already a turban. Are you familiar with a turban? Like a hat? And on the turban was a plate of gold. And then it came down, and then it would go down to his face, and then it would go down to his beard. Why his beard? Why the beard? So I began to think, this oil, what does it do with the beard? Now, I don't have a beard. I can't grow a beard. I can't grow a mustache. Okay? But some of you, you're men, you can do that. How? But I do have sometimes, I do shave, believe it or not. I shave about once or twice a month. And I have hair on my upper lip, forgive the grossness, and on my chin. Now, even with my limited hair, I have just a few little hairs on my face. Some hairs on my face, some hairs are straight. And then I have some other hairs, not very far away, but just next to the straight hair, I have another hair that curls, right? It's not straight, it's curly. It's right next to the straight hair, but it wants to go to curl. And then I have some hairs that will grow this way on my face, and then just on a little bit further away, another hair that will grow this way. And then I have another hair go this way and this way and this. It's all in the same face, same area, but it's curly and straight, and it's like, now, that's just with just a little bit of hair on my face, just a little bit. Can you imagine some old man back in the old days with a full grown, yeah, just everywhere. And that beard is in Israel, in the desert. And it's dry, right? And the hair, there's no moisture, and the hair just rah, right? And we're not talking about like the cool hair, the cool beards that the movie stars have today. We're talking about the beards of the old men and those patriarchal, right, Old Testament men. So I'm thinking, I see the value of this oil. You put it on your beard, and there's the curly hairs, there's the straight hairs, there's the hair growing this way and the hair growing that way. The oil, what does it do? Does it make the hair straight? Does it make the hair grow in the same? No. It just makes it nice. The curly hair can be the curly hair. The straight hair can be the straight hair. This direction can go this direction. This direction can, it's okay. But somehow they're working more together. And you can manage the hair more. And not only that, it smells good. Right? So, you know, when you put on the rinse, the conditioner, what does it do? It makes your hair soft. It makes it nice. And not only that, it makes it smell nice. Right? I have 4 sons, like some of you know. 2 sons, what I love to do, their hair is so soft and so nice. I put my face in their hair. I love to do that with 2 of my sons. Okay, just put my face up in their hair and just rub my face in it because it's so good. I have 2 other sons. Oh, their hair is like mine. Just thick, hard, dry. And sometimes they come to me while I'm sleeping. They lay down next to me. Okay, I don't know it. I'm sleeping. And then I'll turn my head like this. And my nose touches their hard, dry hair. And just the touch on my nose. Ugh. I wake up and I say, what are you doing here? I was so happy. I was dreaming. I was peaceful. And you with your hair. You with your dry, you know, hard. So, okay, forgive me. That was a terrible picture. But so this oil comes on the beard and it makes the beard something livable. Now, where's the payoff for this? Unity. What is unity? It's something that makes us livable. You and I, we're so different. I know we'll shake hands, we'll smile, and we'll say, nice to meet you, good to see you. But there's one point, if we live together, if we live together long enough, you're going to say something, I'm going to do something, you're going to forget something, I'm going to hurt you, you're going to hurt me. You're going to insult me, I'm going to step on your foot. It's just human nature. But there's something about this oil that allows us to work together smoothly. That makes those rough edges a little bit more smooth. That makes those hard times a little bit less difficult. Now, what is it exactly? Let's get a little bit further. But first of it, this unity, it makes us able to work together somehow. Okay? Somehow. Now, the third verse. It's not just like an oil, it's like a dew. And this dew is like the dew of Hermon. And I like the NIV translation. It says here, as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. So there's two mountains you need to understand in your Bible. Okay? The first mountain is not just a mountain, it's a mountain range. It's called the Mount Hermon mountain range, Hermon. And it's like, if you can imagine, in Japan, there's a place called Nagano. And in Nagano, it's the Japanese Alps. Okay? The elevation is about 3,000 meters high. And it's the place where they had the Winter Olympics. The Hermon mountain range is about the same, about 3,000 meters high. All year long, Mount Hermon is covered with snow. Okay? So if you, even now, you can Google Mount Hermon mountain range in your smartphones. You do an image search, and what you'll see is snow. It's a white mountain range. But during the daytime, the hot sun will allow the snow to evaporate into the air. The air becomes moist from the snow of Mount Hermon. And then the wind will blow it around the mountains and down into the lowlands. And then at nighttime, the sun goes down, the air becomes cool. And what happens? The dew comes down on the lowlands around Mount Hermon. And if you do the image search, you'll see it's a white top of all these mountains. And on the lowlands, it's green. All green, like Ireland. Green and beautiful flowers and lush. Some of it, it's so wet, it's like a swamp, they say. Just pools of water. There's no rain. No rain. It's dew. Some people said they've gone to this Hermon mountain range. They've gone camping there. All night, no rain, but when they wake up in the morning, the tent is wet. The ground is wet. Everything is wet, almost like it rained, okay? So this dew just brings life to everywhere. Now, Mount Zion is about 100 miles south. So if you think of Nagano, about 100 miles north of Hiroshima, and we think of our mountain here, it's about the same. Okay, very distant. There's no dew of Hermon falling on Mount Zion. It's impossible. But that's why it says it's as if. What he's saying is the life, the flourishing, the blossoming that's happening around Mount Hermon is happening miles away on Mount Zion. So what is unity? Unity is something that makes us work together more smoothly, and unity is something that gives us life. Not just any kind of life. Flourishing life. Growing, fruitful life. Life with dew on it. Life that's blessed. It's the life that you and I want. It's life forevermore. That's what unity is. Okay. Now we need to finish up, so let's get to how. How do we get this unity? This unity, how do we get it? The hint is in verse 2. It's in the very middle. The hint is in Aaron. Aaron is the high priest of Israel. The high priest of Israel is Aaron. You need to picture, Aaron is the high priest of the old covenant of God's people. So now we go to the New Testament, the New Covenant. And the high priest is given to us in the book of Hebrews. Okay? And in the book of Hebrews, it says that the old people of God's covenant had Aaron. But the New Covenant people have Jesus. Amen. And so the high priest has the oil, because the high priest had to go into the temple, and in the temple the high priest had to give an offering of a bull and a lamb. And the bull would take the sins of the people, and the lamb would take the sins of the people. And that's how God would forgive God's people in the old covenant. Now listen to me. What's crazy about Aaron? Aaron needed to sacrifice for the people. But you know, before he had to sacrifice for the people, he had to offer something for his own sins. Because Aaron was a human. But Jesus, it says in the book of Hebrews, Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Jesus did not offer a bull or a lamb. Jesus offered himself as our sacrifice. He is our Aaron. Because listen to me, this is the most important point I'll make today. Unity is not free. Excuse me. Unity is offered to us freely, but it came at a cost. The cost of unity is separation. The cost of unity is separation. Jesus paid the cost. Amen? Listen, this unity that we're talking about, you see, why does God want us to be unified? Because it's God Himself that's unified. God is a unity of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God is a unity of these three persons. And from before the mountains, before the universe, before all of creation, God was a unity. And God, when He made the earth, He made it good. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1, it said it six times. It was good. He made this. It was good. He made that. It was good. Six times. The seventh time. He made Adam and He made Eve. And He made them unified. And He said what? It's very good. Very good. Why was it very good? Because Adam and Eve, when they were unified, they showed the unity of God. So the unity of Adam and Eve was a mirror that displayed the unity of God. And God said, very good. Very good. I want to just give to you a little bit something to help us understand the depth of God's unity. Okay? In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 30. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 30. It says that God the Son looked at all that God the Father would do, and He would delight in it. It was pleasant to Him. They enjoyed each other. God the Son would look at the creation that God the Father would do, and it would just bring laughter and joy. Right? Now, we go a little bit further from Proverbs to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1. God the Father is talking about His servant. And the servant, He says, this is my servant. And He says, with whom my heart delights. Are you catching the picture? God the Father is delighting in His servant. It's a delightful, it's good, and it's pleasing. Do you have a relationship like that? Do you know somebody? The minute you look at each other, the laughter begins to come out. The old memories come back and it's like, ah. Do you have that? A friend that has been stuck closer than a brother? Do you have a unity with someone that just the thought of them brings a smile to your face? Right? God the Father, God the Son. And then we go to Matthew chapter 17. In Matthew chapter 17, Jesus takes three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. He goes up to this mountain and he shows them, I'm not just a man, I'm the God man. It's called the Transfiguration. And he kind of, do you remember in the book, in the movies, the old movie, Superman? In the old movie, Superman, he sees the trouble and he would kind of take the shirt and go like this, right? And he'd open it and you'd see the S, right? Now, Jesus, he's up on the mountain. He's clothed with human skin. With human. But Jesus kind of, just a little bit. He shows his glory. And it's not just a little, but it's when it comes out, it's like, whoa! There's light. There's glory. And it's just like, whoa! Who is that? Whoa, it's Moses. The author of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Moses. Whoa, who is that? It's Elijah. Elijah. He stopped the rain for 3 years. He brought a boy from death to life. That Elijah. Moses, the prophet of God's word. Elijah, the prophet of God's action, power. And who's in the middle? Jesus. Now, Peter, he's looking at this situation. And he says, wow, this is what? And he starts blabbing. Just doesn't know what to say. And it's funny because it says in Matthew chapter 7, you can read it. It says, while Peter was speaking, God interrupted him. It's like, Peter, just shut up. I'm going to say something. And here's what God says. He says this. This is my son with whom I am pleased. I'm pleased. My heart delights in him. God the Son delights in God the Father. God the Father is pleased with God the Son. They have a unity. A unity. Okay? And then here's what happens. Fast forward. God the Son is on the cross. Right? And what does he say? Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? The unity was cut. The unity was cut and there was separation. Why? So that we can be unified with God. Amen. Jesus was blown apart so that we can come together. Now listen to me. Please listen to me. We need this. We need this. We have been separated from God. But Jesus came so that we can be united to God by being separated by himself. Listen, we're not just separated from God, we're separated from ourselves. We look at ourselves, we judge ourselves, we fail ourselves. We're disunited with ourselves. We look at ourselves and go, "Who? What is this?" We're not just separated from God, we're not just separated from ourselves, we're separated from each other. And Jesus gets on one side and on the other, and he bridges us together. He bridges ourselves together and he bridges between us and God. And he says, at the cost of my separation, I'll give you your unity. That's how we have unity. It's through our Aaron, our high priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So again, we come to the cross. How do we have this unity, this life, this good and pleasant life evermore? We come to our high priest, Aaron, Jesus Christ. And we ask him. We ask him for the oil. We ask him for the dew. Listen, I can yell till I'm blue in the face. Be unified. Do everything in your power to live at peace with all men. And that's what we do. We try to be unified people. And it works to some degree. But ultimately, I want you to look at the direction being poured on the head, down to the beard, down to the beard, down to the collar. The dew of Hermon falling on Mount. Where does unity come from? From above. Did you catch that? We can strive to be unified, but all the more, it's unity that we ask from God the Father to give it through God the Son. Will you pray with me? Yeah, please, go ahead. I want to lead you for just a moment in some Christian guided meditation. Would you meditate on what Jesus did so that you can have unity with others, with yourself, and with God? Aaron, your high priest, giving you the oil of his Holy Spirit, allowing the dew of his presence to fall on you. I want you to see it, healing your separation. I want you to see it congealing your relationships. I want you to believe it and receive it in faith that Jesus' death was enough to purchase your unity. Oh, dear God, change me. Transform me into the image of your Son. Make me a new creation. Show me how to be like you. I thank you that you purchased my unity through your own separation. And I thank you, Lord, that because of you, I am not alone. Hallelujah. That by your death, I now live. By your separation, I am now one with God. Oh, thank you so much, Lord Jesus. Lord, for those of us lacking in the unity in some area of our life, we ask for mercy. We beg you for your grace. And we receive it in faith. Thanking you, Lord God, for your kindness to us. So we offer this to you, our hearts, our lives, our whole body to you, God. And we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.